Not Fade Away, A Short Life Well Lived, by Lawrence Shames and Peter Barton. I tried my damnedest not to get involved in the writing of this book, or with a man named Peter Barton, whose life it celebrates and whose death it chronicles. My reason for resisting was simple. My own small existence was on a very pleasant, even keel. I didn't want to disrupt it by getting close to a dying stranger. I didn't want to think about mortality, still less watch death happening from day to day. I didn't want to grow to care about a family that would soon be fatherless. Besides, I had no special reason to embrace Peter Barton's story. As of January 2002, when a mutual friend told me his disease was terminal, all I knew of Peter was that he was a media business mogul who lived in Denver. True, he seemed like an audacious and amusing character, a fellow whose edge had not been blunted by success, who preserved his healthy mistrust of authority, his almost boyish need to push the rules and test the limits. There were endless anecdotes about Peter. Peter rock climbing up Robert Redford's chimney, Peter driving race cars or flying off of ski jumps in his underwear, Peter winning a Rolls Royce on a bet, or hatching wild but visionary schemes like buying public television to rescue it from spending cuts. Audacious, for sure. Amusing, yes. But what did it have to do with me? Peter's world was not my world. Peter's alpha male style was not my style. We'd made vastly different choices in life. Peter built enterprises, wielded power. I worked alone and wanted control over nothing but myself. Peter, through his work and his children, had projected himself into the future. I had consciously abstained from fatherhood and accepted with relief the idea that my stake in earthly matters would end the moment I did. Even the things that Peter and I did have in common tended to make me shy of him, spooked me, in fact. It turned out we were almost exactly the same age, born a few months apart in the baby boom year of 1951. But Peter was already wasting away with stomach cancer. If it could happen to him, if death was beginning to pluck at our still youthful generation, then why not me? Peter's skin was smoother than mine. He had less gray hair than I did. So I had plenty of reasons to run from this story. And yet, I didn't run. Deeply, if briefly, Peter was gone within 7 months of the first time we ever met. I became immersed in his amazing life and courageously examined death. Why? Because I found that I could not do otherwise.